We're having a relationship powwow this week. The guest is bringing concrete conversations on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, as always, those are my babies. Thanks for getting daddy started today. Mwah. Podcaster and advocate for honest and forthcoming communication, Maria N. Smith is with us today. And I'm curious. I consider this kind of a shallow question. This is just to start the conversation. Okay. I'm sure we're going to go deeper. What's the importance of truth in a relationship?
The importance of truth is, it's very important. It sets the foundation for your relationship. If you can't be honest with the person that you're in a relationship with, then what's the purpose of the relationship? There's no trust. There's no honesty. You need that.
Okay. If you can't be honest with
you need that.
If you can't be honest with the person you're in the relationship, what's the relationship for? Is that the question?
What's the purpose if you can't be honest with them?
Well, what's the purpose if you can be honest?
You're building something.
Exactly.
I would suspect.
You're building something solid, something tangible, something to where you can have a union and have a family, a healthy, happy, loving family, not just being in a relationship to be in a relationship.
And you can't have a loving family if you guys have lied to one another?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you can't, because there are a lot of liars. Exactly. There are a lot of liars. But to have a healthy relationship to where you won't have that uncertainty, you should be honest. You should be in a honest, forthcoming relationship to where you can communicate effectively with the person that you're dealing with.
Communicating and honesty are two different things. What you about to say, Nancy?
I was just saying that maybe we would reframe it and not say you should be honest, but that it would be helpful. It would be helpful.
Okay.
I'm totally playing. Right? I'm totally, so it would be helpful. And I suspect, I could be wrong, that if two people or however many people we're talking about are honest with one another, then the relationship has a greater chance for longevity. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. Because you can have a relationship mm-hmm. with someone who is lying like a rug mm-hmm. on the regular. Mm-hmm. And it becomes an adventure, maybe if that's your thing, for finding out that the person has lied. Oh my goodness, nothing they told me is true. And you know, you go through those feelings of betrayal mm-hmm. and maybe that's interesting to some people. Maybe that has its place.
Okay.
I don't know.
I recently read something and I really don't remember where I read it, but the quote was somewhere around the concept that certainty in a relationship is almost death to that relationship. If you expect mm-hmm. to be comfortable, you don't need to be in a relationship.
That's certainty and truth. Truth doesn't necessarily guarantee you certainty. Yeah.
Well, she said certainty. Certainty was a word she used.
Okay. Okay.
See? As far as like for you to be truthful, it doesn't guarantee that you'll be certain in the relationship and that relationship is going to last. But if you're honest with the person that you're with and you're able to communicate effectively with that person, then it's certain that it probably will last a lot longer versus not being honest, not being truthful, and not communicating your thoughts with that person that you're with. Who wants to be with someone who can't tell me how they feel and live in a relationship where I don't know how you're feeling. I'm assuming. And once you assume, you know what happens when you assume.
Well, there's a lot. Who wants to be in a relationship? Your question. Who, and you, I missed the, I didn't capture the exact end of it.
Who wants to be in a relationship with someone who can't tell you how they feel? That's heavy.
Well,
plenty of people are.
Yeah, plenty of they people are.
In fact, people often think they're being told the truth about how a partner's feeling, and they're not over the course of 30 years.
Yeah.
So it happens all the time. It probably happens more than it doesn't happen.
It does. And for me, that's just not the type of relationship that I want or I feel would be. I've never seen those relationships really work. At some point, one or the other, either the male or the female, are not happy.
Well, what is a relationship working mean?
A relationship working is where you can be honest about your feelings. You can be open. You can communicate with your partner with no holdbacks, no hesitations, anything. I want to be able to be my true self with the person that I'm with, and I want them to be their true self with me. Whether or not I may agree with it or not, that's what I want. And I feel like if people can be that way, it alleviates any, you know, arguments or misunderstanding or miscommunication or misleading.
Please.
What?
Wait a minute. Let's play a game. How many people in your life right now can you be 100% yourself with?
Okay, so I'm myself with my friends.
How many of these people?
And I have like...
She doesn't have both her hands up, y'all. I'm just telling you what's happening in the studio.
But it's like... Maybe about five. My friend circle isn't really that big, but I'm my true self with all of my friends.
And okay. So that means you hold nothing back.
I don't.
That means, okay, so as far as I'm concerned, this is what that means. You hold nothing back. There's nothing on your mind
that
you don't share instantly. Like you're not thinking about anything. Everything that you think about, you instantly share.
Not instantly share, but the thing is, I share it, but I do word it appropriately to where if I know what I'm going to say, if I know what I'm going to say may hurt that person's feelings, I'll word it in a way to where it won't hurt their feelings, but I'm still giving them my true and honest feelings.
If you're filtering it through something else, I don't think that's the
honest
truth. Yeah,
but that's not filtering it. I'm still giving you, like, you can say I hate you in so many different ways. It's the delivery.
But there's only one way that you actually feel it. I disagree. Just play with me here.
Okay.
If I think your breath smells like poop, I don't think it smells like garbage. I don't think it smells like feet. I think it smells like poop. And in fact, and specifically, I think it smells like gargantua poop, whatever that is.
Altoids wouldn't cure it. Is that what you're telling me?
I think it smells specifically like that.
Okay.
If that's what I genuinely think, and I tell you, your breath stinks, or I think you need some Listerine. That's not the truth to
me.
I think you need some Listerine is not the truth.
No, we're not talking about implications.
No. What I'm saying is, by you saying that, saying, oh, your breath stinks, or you need some Listerine, that's letting that person know that, hey, he's saying that my breath stinks.
That's not the truth.
And that's the truth. What you're saying is, you're saying that the truth is that, yes, their breath smells like poop.
No, the truth is, yes, the truth is your breath smells like poop to me. And anything, if that's how I'm processing it, if that's really what I think, to tell you anything other than exactly what I'm thinking is not the truth to me.
Well, then nobody's telling the truth.
Okay, there you have it.
But that's to you, though.
Yeah.
To you, but...
he ain't telling the truth either.
I'm like,
okay, show would have been totally off the books. No one would talk to this guy.
I completely agree. Yeah. We are all liars.
No.
We are all lying.
It's not
often.
I wouldn't say you saying
often. He says
you not saying you're saying. Okay. So
don't let him trip
let,
you
let
up.
Jeff. No, come on, Jeff.
No, okay. You saying yes? You not saying okay? Oh my God, your breath smells like poop. Okay, that is your truth and what you know feel. You telling a person that their breath stink is still not saying that their breath doesn't smell like poo. You're just taking out what it actually smells like. You're still letting
them
know.
Specific about the
exactly.
Phone.
You're still implying that their breath stinks. So in their mind, when they hear that, they're like, oh, wait a minute. My breath does stink. So let me go and do something about it. You may not say the exact words.
But the message is
But the
delivered.
Message is very clear as to what you're sending.
Jeff, it's not. It's still not.
Frank Felice.
If specific is what you're thinking, specific is what your that's what
everybody
you would
can't
need to,
take that though.
It's not about what you can take.
Yes,
it has nothing. The truth has nothing to do with what you can take.
Okay,
but so you can say whatever it is. If I'm going to give you the truth, I'm going to say I don't care how you're going to take it. That's the truth.
But you should care about how the person that you're with. Now that's it's different when you're in a relationship. Yes, your truth. You shouldn't care about how anybody else feel because you're being truthful. But when you're in a relationship, you should be honest, but be considerate of the other person's feeling. Not saying that you should not tell them.
You should be kind of honest.
No, you should be honest.
You should be honest and filter it.
If you know your partner, if my partner knows that I am 100, I hold no bars, I have tough skin, you tell me how you really feel. That's me. Then, of course, they're going to come to me that way. Now, if I know that my partner can be a little sensitive and I got to kind of ease my way, you know, in telling them how I feel, then that's what I'm going to do to get my truth across.
Let me interpret for Frank because I speak male love. I'm not 100% sure why he has taken this path. Because there's no answer
to what he's
trying to
right.
say.
Right.
You can be honest and tell white lies because you're considerate of the person you are talking to or telling those falsehoods to, alternative facts, so to speak.
You're dating us, Jeff. You're letting people know past what date.
No, but you can't.
This is the Trump administration. Yeah.
But you cannot be 100% honest and maintain relationships, friendships, and work environment success because though you know those type of people, you can't come out of your dome and out of your mouth without some sort of filter or ways to, yeah, your breath stinks, but instead, hey, you know what? I've got these great Altoids. So you are absolutely right. It's the way of getting a message across. Now, that's a very general and broad way of looking at it. If you want to deal with specifics in a relationship, yes, there should be a high level of honesty between two people. And their family and your family with them.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it really won't work.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to be considerate of feelings. And, you know, for a long time, and I'm a lot older now and I have kids, for a long time, my point of view was, if it's not going to jeopardize the relationship, I'm not going to tell her.
Mm-hmm. But there's no way of knowing that.
There is in my mind, or there was in my mind, and I'm not talking about extramarital stuff.
No,
I'm just talking about
right,
I stopped
right.
on the way home and had a beer with a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I still got home on time.
Mm. Okay.
She didn't need to know that I was really counseling this guy and he was having a rough time and I took 20 minutes and had a beer. Because if I did, maybe she didn't like that guy. I'm making up the scenario.
Right.
Okay. That would not have jeopardized our relationship.
Right.
For me to come, it may have started an argument, so I alleviated that.
Mm.
Okay, so I was not 100% honest with the person who I should have or should always be honest with.
Mm.
You do need a filter, in my opinion. I'm not a professional like you guys, but you do need but I am a professional being married.
Sure,
I've been married 32 years
because
I'm committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm committed to being honest with my kids as well. I would hope they will with their eventual spouses and with us, with sure. with their parents.
Sure.
So yeah. I don't know where you were going with
I'll
that.
I'll tell you exactly where I'm going.
Because you can't be 100% honest.
It just depends on the two people, on the type of people. If they both are the same and they both are open and honest and like, hey, give me the truth, give me the raw, then you can. And maintain it to be a friendship or whatever, as long as you guys both know that, okay, me being honest, don't take it personally, but this is how I'm feeling. Your breath smells like shit.
Well, the thing, okay, where I'm going with it
Please.
Is, I already alluded to it. I already specifically said it in many ways. We're all liars.
Why or, is that important?
Or because... If we,
so
okay,
define
we're all,
liars for me.
Okay,
we're
better,
filtering.
Actually, the better term is we all tell lies. And
at some
so
point,
yes. And so my
we
point
tell stories.
Whatever. Alternative facts, you alternative know, whatever. That is such a good quote. Like you know, I wonder how many people sat how many people were sitting around a table and came up with that concept, alternative facts. Like, that is good.
Like, irrational exuberance?
Anyway, the point I'm making is we focus on whether our partner is lying to us or has told us a lie. In my estimation, way too much. It really is, in many ways, a waste of time. It has What is valuable is the connection, and it's even the connection that we get when our partner lies to us. It's like, I've said this to you, Nancy, before. Our partner lying to us tells us that they're not comfortable
telling us the truth.
Well, yeah. that's something, you lie to me, that's like something for me to work on. Like, how can I get you to open up more? And not by beating you in the head, not by telling you you're lying, or the Bible says, or you know, I should knock you over the head, or you broke this vow. Right. Not any of that kind
right.
of stuff,
right.
but through gentleness and softness or compassion, and not feeling overall not feeling the need to beat you up. Just you lie to me. Hey, I mean, you know, you're lying to me, and I'm okay. Give me a kiss. Give me a hug.
Yeah, but I think it depends on the lie, though. I don't think you'll just be like, you know, oh, okay, you lied. Oh, that's fine. Oh, you had sex with your coworker. Oh, okay, you lied about it. That's fine. Like, I think it depends
think
on the lie.
Grades
yeah,
of
lies that you can kind of take, you know, with like, oh, okay, yeah, like, no. Let's
well, I think that they up. Get bigger. The more you tell them, I think maybe if you get more comfortable with lying to someone, then the lies can get bigger. But you know, Frank, as I'm hearing you out, I got to tell you something about this whole conversation with him, because I remember our first conversation to mm-hmm. like, I guess, kind of like my interview.
Mm-hmm.
I was late, mm-hmm. right? And so he says, do you typically run late?
Mm-hmm.
And I paused for a second and I was like, yes. And I don't know, I was like, oh, don't tell him, right? But mm-hmm. I said yes. Mm-hmm. And he said okay. He didn't say
right.
you're gonna have to work on that, da, da, da. He said, I said yes, and he said okay, and then we
exactly.
went on. And the irony is where even when I first started the show, I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, it might be 5, 10 minutes late getting here. One time I think it was 30 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes this is after making what feels like to me Herculean efforts to get here on time. And then I would say, hey, it's going to be this time.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, there are times when I would want to say, just tell me car didn't start. They're going to have to call you. Don't even try it. But it's like, no, let me just tell Frank. Mm-hmm. And it's never from remembering anything. It's mm-hmm. never from thinking, oh, he'll be okay. It's always in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell him the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And things just manage to work
yeah.
out.
And can you imagine like not telling the truth or saying, well, no, I'm not typically late. And then
I got to try to make that
mm-hmm.
true, which it isn't.
But imagine if I was different.
Right.
And
right.
my initial interaction with her. Yeah. If she walked in and I would have said, come on now, it's you 10 minutes late. This is now way to start. I mean, that puts up a barrier. And mm-hmm. one of the things that you said was the lies. You said one of you all said something get bigger. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the lies get bigger as the barriers get bigger also. So the more I imagine if you're saying, oh, so you had sex with your coworker. Should you just tell me the truth about that? And that's kind of what you alluded to. Well, imagine if it was perfect. Is that correct? Did I get it right?
So I use that as an example in your response to it.
Okay.
Because before you were kind of like when they said, oh, it's okay, you know, like whatever, you lie. Mm-hmm. But if they were to lie about something like that.
But that's not even, you're not even reaction. Telling the truth as far as I'm concerned right what now. You mean? And you just can smack me on the hand. You smack me on the hand for I hope I'm not, you know, stepping on toes. But because we all do this and that's cool. The thing I'm saying is it's not even the lie that you would have a problem with if your partner had sex with their coworker. It's not the lie that you have a problem with. It's the fact that they have sex with their coworker.
It's the action.
So it's not about the lie. And so when does it become okay? When do I get okay with you as my wife mm-hmm. or whatever have you? When do I get okay with, hey, if you want to have sex with your coworker, number one, I want for you what you want for you. And so I'm not even going to, you don't have to lie to me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you need to lie to me about. And on top, and the way I can cultivate that is by just being okay with you. No matter what you do, mm-hmm. I am perfectly okay with you. I don't have no problem with if you wouldn't. And if you did, and one of the ways of getting there is if you did lie about it, I wouldn't even care about that. If you did it, if you had sex with your coworker and lied about it, if I was angry and I found out, that kind of justifies you lying in the first place, because I was me showing you I'm angry is my way of showing you that I reject you. But if
some people would think that you getting angry means that you cared.
Well, I mean,
it would be showing actual emotion.
Oh, there's a million ways to show emotion.
I don't know. I just feel like that if you found out, well, for me, if
we're married, you and me, exactly. Maria and Frank are married. Today.
Exactly. And let's say, you know, you met my coworker at a office party. Mm-hmm. We happened to had an exchange, you know, a sexual exchange.
Encounter.
Exactly. Right. You asked me about that because you felt it was something. I told you, oh, no, we're just cool at work. Mm-hmm. Then later on, you find out maybe from a text message, an email or something. Yeah, you really did, you know, have a sexual encounter with your coworker that I met. Mm-hmm. And you lied about that. Mm-hmm. You would be okay, just like, oh, okay.
I would get okay because I'm okay with you. I would get okay because if you're special to me, I'm gonna treat you like you're special. If you're special, so the lie, again, if I have a problem with the lie, that's I'm lying to myself, because it's not the lie that I got a problem with. It's the fact that you had sex with your coworker. And right. By saying it's the lie, it's just a way for me to kind of, it's a way for me to justifiably beat you up about something that you did. And I get to beat you up twice. I get to beat you up about lying, and I get to beat you up about having sex with your coworker.
Okay.
But I don't want to beat you up.
And that's
like, I have no interest in beating
sometimes
on you.
Okay, but you need to beat somebody. You know what?
Sometimes
spare the rod, spoil everybody.
Yeah, but I mean, if they know, and let's say we are married, and if I know that you're the type of person where you're okay for me being me, I wouldn't have lied in the first place.
Right.
you know, I would have told you straight
probably
up.
Probably wouldn't have had sex with a coworker.
Exactly. Exactly. But oftentimes, a lot of times, the relationships that are out here, people are not comfortable with their partners. They don't know their partners. So because you are unable to be that open, vulnerable, truthful self, not saying that, you know, again, being blunt and completely honest and tell your wife that she's fat, you know, mm-hmm. not that, but being able to be your true self to someone, that's what causes, that's to me, I feel like that's what causes a lot of infidelity. It causes a lot of unhappy relationships.
So do you believe, and you know, I throw this out to everybody, not just you. Do you, when I say you, I'm talking to two, three other people.
Okay.
Do you believe that people determine that they want to have sex with someone other than their partners because they want to be, I don't even, infidel? Unfaithful? They want to be unfaithful.
They just
or
curious.
Do they want to do that?
They're sometimes curious. Some people just want to do it. It could right. be a lack of emotional, you know, stability within their relationship. Sometimes some people do it because, hey, they see somebody, they have a sexual desire and they want to act on it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, hey, okay, if I do this, I'm going to be, you know, doing, I'm going to be, yeah.
So how does one express that? If you're in a marriage, mm-hmm. how would you express that and even fulfill it without getting beaten
sometimes
in the head?
Sometimes you can express it and then you don't need to fulfill it.
Sometimes, yeah. absolutely. Yeah, so sometimes you don't even have the feeling. Yeah. I mean, well, but
all the time.
Say that all
if
the time.
If you want to stay married, mm-hmm. you have to discipline that mm-hmm. feeling all the time. Because most people will be interested in something else, in theory. Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It happens every day of my life. I do. And you don't act on it.
Yeah.
It's called discipline. You just can't. Yeah. If you care about someone else, if you care about your happiness and the dedication and devotion you've made to the relationship, that's something you don't do. I'm a diabetic and I can't have a piece of candy because mm-hmm. I want to continue living. Wow. Done. Wow. So it's not how do you make that decision that you want to. Mm-hmm. It's how do you maintain the discipline not to.
And if you have a desire, then you go to your significant other. Like, hey, can we try this? Or let's do this. Or, you know, like he said, it's definitely the discipline that
and
you have to maintain.
And there's plenty of other things in life that you want that you don't do, man.
Yeah.
Like what?
Man, I mean, listen, like sometimes you come into the studio with one eye open and one eye closed. You cannot tell me that you wouldn't rather be asleep. However, you have a commitment to this show that exceeds your in-the-moment desire to just get a little shut-eye.
Exactly.
Right. That, so I think in the final analysis, it goes right back to what Jeff is saying, which is that it's all about what you're committed to.
It's all okay, so if I don't, if I sleep in and don't do the show, the show won't happen.
Precisely. Okay.
There's no opinions. There's no personality.
You know?
Well, just the show ain't going to happen.
I'll play the game with you.
Know.
I'll play the game with you.
There's no opinions. There's no personality. There's no there's no people stuff there. It's
why
just
isn't it? You have a guest. You have a co-host. You have an engineer. You have all these people that are prepared, reorganizing their own lives to make this thing happen with and for you. So how can you say that?
Well, when I'm not talking about.
If you don't communicate that you're not coming in.
I'm not talking about nobody else being affected.
Okay.
I'm just saying if I don't get up, the show doesn't happen. Period.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Now, it's not that it doesn't affect you or Jeff or anybody else.
Right.
The show just doesn't happen.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying at this point. If Jeff is a diabetic and eats candy,
he could go into a
diabetic coma. There's no people stuff there. There's nobody's opinion
that's
showing up.
Real.
That's mm-hmm. that's how it is.
Okay. Okay.
If you have sex, if Maria, you and I are married and you have sex with your coworker, there's not definitively a problem. It's how I perceive it. It's how I digest it. It's how I determine. It's what I determine that means.
Yeah. If you don't see a problem with it, then okay, it won't be a problem and it won't be an issue. Mm-hmm. But if that is a problem, then that's something totally different. And that's where it goes back to knowing your partner and knowing, you know, how that person is and being open and honest with that person.
And that's where we get a chance to look at whether we have to make it a problem. That's kind of what I'm getting
honesty?
At. We get it.
To make honesty or the lack thereof a problem.
I'm not even talking about the honesty or lack thereof. I'm talking about whatever the act is. Mm.
Oh,
that's okay. Where we get a chance to look at whether that has to be a problem or not. So yes, there could be ramifications, but yes, we can also look at it different.
Mm-hmm.
You can't look at Jeff's diabetic coma different. He's mm-hmm. in diabetic coma, or you know, whoever have you. That's right. Not people stuff. And
you're saying there's more flexibility if it's people stuff, if the people are flexible.
And the start of that is telling people and informing people that it's even possible to be flexible.
Okay.
That's really my
spiel.
Point.
Okay. you know what? I have to tell you, I feel that most people think they are flexible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They think mm-hmm. they are flexible. They think that if you hit up against some point of resistance for them, then it's you who are being unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Because, I am flexible. I can handle this, 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 and this. And then they know 10 people who can't handle what they can handle. So that makes them flexible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's so incredibly relative. We must read The Doors of Perception, my friend.
That's a book for real?
Yes,
or that's
it is.
Just like
Aldous Huxley. We must read this.
What's
thing.
The name?
The Doors of Perception.
And the name of the author?
The author, Aldous Huxley. Yes.
Okay. What else? He wrote something famous.
Oh, my goodness, Jeff.
Think of it in a second.
It was required reading. It was getting ready to come out of my mouth,
it's like
and I lost it.
11th grade required reading.
Yeah.
Really? So you've heard of it, too.
Oh,
it's
he's,
not something.
He's
no,
written,
I've heard of the author.
He wrote a book similar to, like, 1984, right? He didn't write 1984,
uh-huh.
but he wrote a book that was kind of on that.
That level of popularity.
Yeah, that level of way of looking at things. There's a term for it. It's not apocalyptic, but it's, you know, if everything went to hell in the handbasket, this might be how it looked kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What is it, Jeff?
Brave New World.
Brave New World. That's it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, we have to, it'd be right up your alley. You could keep us spinning for hours.
Well, is the author still alive?
No.
He's not. Which takes us to fences.
Mm.
You know, we talked about fences a few weeks ago, just kind of in the news in that segment.
Okay.
Speaking of in the news, you know what? We haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, hold up.
You sure?
Yeah.
That's your perception.
All right.
What do you want to talk about?
We missed
Frank?
A lot. Okay. Welcome to Frank Relationships, a show for you, my brethren, who, like me, are too young to be considered old and too old to be considered young. It's also for those of you who love and support us. We're here to provide weekly wisdom, conversation, and the information that'll help create loving and flexible parents and partners. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. If you're listening to the show on Blog Talk Radio, please follow us, and then via iTunes, please subscribe so that you can effortlessly get the show each week. Also, if you're enjoying the show, and of course you are, please give us a favorable iTunes rating and please share it with your family and friends on your favorite social media platform. We're always looking for new social media friends, so please help us help our communities by spreading the word about the show. We're a little late for an introduction, but greetings to my super duper co-host, Nancy.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, dear. How are you?
I'm great.
The consummate generalist is with us.
Indeed.
Today's guest is a certified relationship coach specializing in communication between men and women of color. An advocate for honest and forthcoming communication, she's the creator and host of Concrete Conversations, a powerful podcast that focuses on, you know what?
Relationships.
There you have it. And she's committed to refining the communication between men and women of color in particular. So, if you, like me, want to experience a fun and hearty conversation on fences, I warn you, there will be spoilers. Everybody here has seen it. Managing finances in relationships and relationship titles. Then stay tuned as your Frank Relationship team talks with Maria N. Smith. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey. I'm
welcome.
Thanks. We're just.
She's been on the show for 10 years now.
Before we get too deep where we already are, before we swim out any further, I want to check in and see what's going on in the news. Maria, please don't be bashful. We certainly want your thoughts too. All right, what we got? What we got? My partner of 18 years told me recently she's now interested in a woman and is no longer attracted to me, but that she still loves me and wants us to stay together. What do you do with that?
You take it for what it is. I mean, she's telling you how she feel.
Do you stay with her?
It depends on how he feels after that. Mm. If he feels as though that he can still be with her after him telling her that, then yeah. I mean, it just all depends on the two people and where they are. Because what my thoughts, I may not necessarily be okay with that, but right. He may be. Right. He may, you know.
He may not find it a problem.
Exactly. He may not find it a problem. He may understand that, okay, people change if that's what you want. I don't want to leave you. And
you don't want to leave me.
Exactly. So we just
bring the girl
stay together,
home.
Bring her home.
We'll both be with her.
Exactly.
Now, that's right. Yeah. So she's no longer attracted to him, but that doesn't mean the other girl may not be attracted to him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, look, and he might be attracted to her.
He's feeling this one.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even think of that.
See? That's why I'm here.
Okay. All right. What do you say, Nancy?
What do I say about
that situation?
That situation.
What did you do when that happened to you?
Okay. That's what I did. It didn't happen. So, that's out of my repertoire of experience. However, I think, you know what? Oh my goodness, this is going to stand your hair up. So when I was maybe a teenager, right? Definitely.
You remember that?
It would surprise you, yes. Even without the memory drugs, right? So, there was a time in my evolution when I believed that I could weather it better if my partner left me for another man than if he left me for another woman. Mm. Right? Okay. And so my reasoning was that if he left me for another man, then there was nothing I could do. Mm-hmm. Like,
you just ain't had that equipment.
The man is bringing something to the party I don't have a snowball's chance of ever being able to bring, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, half of it.
You have half of male
sexual equipment.
Yeah, but as far as I'm concerned, whatever it is that two men do together,
you know,
gotcha. I can't do it, right? So however, then as time went on and that started actually happening, you gotta get in my mind. That was
such
a rare.
To you, it started happening.
No. That it started happening in the broader culture. That men were turning to men.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I wasn't thinking that no more. Yeah. I was like, boy, that's a huge one, right? And I didn't feel like I was like, oh my goodness, that would just be the worst. And so, you know.
It's interesting because black women seem to have a major issue with, what is it, the down low.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanna irritate a black woman, you start talking about
brothers
on the down low. Yes. And they seem to be just, and I think it has to do, get this.
It's a safety issue.
It goes perfectly with the conversation we've been having.
Okay.
So
lies.
Yes, with lies.
Yeah. He loves lies.
So
go on.
So down low is men who have sex with men.
Mm-hmm. But are typically thought to be in heterosexual relationships.
Yes. And apparently they're in like a heterosexual relationship with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time.
Yes.
So but they live heterosexual lives.
They're on the down low in terms of revealing that part of it. Now, that goes with the conversation we are having because somewhere that guy doesn't feel comfortable sharing that. Mm-hmm. And presumably he doesn't feel comfortable sharing it with his partner, with his woman. Mm-hmm. Black women becoming so bothered and irritated by that subject, it's almost a reason for the guy who has those feelings to lie because he doesn't feel like he can have that conversation with her. And it's a communication barrier. Mm-hmm. I would love to see relationships just in a general landscape. I would love to see where men and women or whoever can have those kind of conversations with one another. And that's it. Right. We can have
without
those
no
conversations.
Judgments,
no judgments. No, okay. I'm going
to
leave you. I'm going
to
dump
really
you.
Have like yeah. open right. and honest.
Yeah.
So this is not I had sex with my coworker.
Right.
Yeah, no.
This is baby.
This is something else.
I'm bisexual.
Exactly.
Or
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm bisexual because if I'm living a heterosexual life
and occasionally
I'm sleeping with you, I'm bisexual.
One time,
some guys don't even think that they wouldn't even consider themselves as bisexual.
They're gay.
Yeah.
But they just live heterosexual lives.
Yeah, they won't consider themselves that way. I've heard stories where one guy, he's like, no, I'm not gay.
Yeah.
I've gotten, you know.
Because I've had sex with a woman, I'm not gay.
Right. Or I've gotten, you know, a guy has gone down on me, but I'm still not gay. I don't, you know, I just, that just happened. I'm like. Okay.
Right.
if that's what you say, but you know,
it's not a sexual orientation he's willing to
take on.
And you know, there's a category: men who have sex with men. So it kind of eliminates whether you consider yourself gay or not.
Wait a minute, it's not gay.
There's a category of
men who have sex with men.
Yes,
and it's not pedophilia, and it's not.
No. I'm saying it's the category, and the category is called men who have sex with men, and it is heterosexual men that have sex with heterosexual.
Well, no.
Just any man who have sex with another
man. Okay.
And the point in I think that category is it eliminates whether you as a man consider yourself gay. Like if it says gay, then you may say I'm not gay.
I'm not gay.
But if you're a man and you have sex with another man, you can't. That's not an opinion. It's not whether you consider yourself having sex with another man. You either have sex with other men or you don't.
Right.
So that's what I think that category comes from.
Well, here's the thing, which you alluded to. Some men, I couldn't think of the phraseology where they say, "Well, I'm." Pitching,
if you're a pitcher and not a catcher, you're not considered gay.
Yeah,
I may have talked about this on the show before.
You talked about it on hip hop. We were talking about
in certain factions of hip hop, where it is predominantly male culture, and I'm talking about 90s West Coast gangster when I was involved in all that.
Mm-hmm.
I was very surprised that there were no women hanging around, but sex or a sex act. To these guys who are working 24/7 on their art, sex is like basketball, something to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the homie down the road is going to take it, that's my release.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gay.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way that I will enjoy myself for the next 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it prevalent. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I'm not dropping the bomb on anybody who's been involved in it. It's prevalent. And no, they do not consider themselves gay or bi. That's just part of my day.
Wow.
Oh, and I'll be dead by the time I'm 25 also.
Oh, that's wow.
I mean,
footnote.
I guess that's
part of my day job. Footnote. It's part of the game. Okay.
But more to your point, you started out with the problem that women have with the down low.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you guys say about that heat that black women in particular have around that issue?
About, well,
you're both black women.
Well, I mean,
I think.
No.
We ain't black, Frank.
And how would you, so your husband comes to you and says, or and actually, I'm going to do better than that.
Okay.
Before, like the conversations leading up to whatever it is you got, you know, that the conversations that you have leading up to mm-hmm. your 10th mm-hmm. year of marriage mm. where he may come to you and say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What conversations are you going to have early so that he could come to you and say something like that?
It's all about the foundation of the relationship. If you set that foundation to where you guys are friends.
That's theory. Give me some.
You think
give,
so?
Tell me about the conversation you're going to
so?
Have.
I
yes.
don't think that that's theory. I think that's real talk. I think that if you have a friendship with someone prior to getting into a relationship with them, you are on a level of comfortability in expressing how you really feel about anything.
I don't necessarily think you have to have that friendship prior. My wife and I, my wife is my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't best friends before being
to
in a relationship.
Own.
So, I mean, I...
Yeah, and sometimes it does happen where people initially get together and they build their friendship mm-hmm. from being together. But for, you know, for most people I've seen and heard that, like, having that friendship prior to having that commitment and being with someone, that helps in expressing how they feel about certain things. Now, for me?
For you, I want to know what conversation, if that's something you wouldn't want to happen.
I feel like those are questions that are asked and discussed during the dating stage. It's soon, like, it's once we're, you know, getting to know each other,
mm-hmm.
those are questions that happen then. Now, let's say during that time they didn't know, or at that time they weren't. And let's say we are together, we end up getting engaged, and he tells me, you know, hey, I had an encounter, or I, you know, am starting to feel a certain kind of way differently about, you know, guys. I don't necessarily want to be with someone who has those types of feelings. I don't.
Okay, but you're putting, first of all, you said those are conversations you have in the dating stage.
Mm-hmm.
Or
like what you like
right.
sexually, what you don't like.
Mm-hmm. But
and she's acknowledging that he may not know that.
Well, that's
that
just
exactly.
it. If he doesn't yeah. know
right,
that.
Exactly.
At that
and
stage.
I covered said that.
She covered that.
At that time, he may not know. Or mm-hmm. let's say it's snow. But as time goes on, maybe his feelings have shifted or have changed. But as long as he comes to me and let me know that, hey, I'm starting to feel this way. And because we've built a foundation where we both are open and honest with each other, he'll have no problem coming to me telling me that. Now, he may have reservations because he knows that for me, I'm not okay. I can't continue a relationship with someone that have those kinds of feelings.
Exactly. That's what I'm. So in other words, you're telling me you would not, if you're going to say to him, I'm not going to be in a relationship with you. And that's so in mm-hmm. so many words, that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I would not be in a relationship with you if you did that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself and him, the relationship up, for there to be something hidden if he doesn't want that to happen. If he doesn't want to not be in a relationship with you.
I'm telling how I feel.
I got you.
And I mean, granted, if that sends a trigger off to him and where, okay, oh my God, I have to hide this information from her. I'm going to find out eventually. It eventually comes out regardless at any given point, whether it's quickly or
later
mm-hmm. it's gonna come out
mm-hmm.
but the person that I'm with, they should know, even if they don't, they're gonna have to take that L, because if I find out or later on, I'm still gonna leave you regardless.
So two pieces. One, it may never come out. That's a that it you're might. Saying it may never come out. It may come out at the funeral. Exactly. It may come out at the funeral or something like that. Or and if it does come out, for you to say he's gonna have to take the L, that's like, I mean, you could easily be like, all right, well, I'll take the L then. You know, we'll stay in the relationship now, and I'll take the L whenever that comes up, if it comes up. Yeah, no problem. But
stuff like that, it comes out. It doesn't, that's not something that some people, I'm telling you, it eventually comes out.
I believe, often, but, it's like a child.
Exactly.
It's like a child. Children get found out about
yes.
eventually, yes. often.
Right.
But not all the time.
Not all the time.
They're often children that show up at the funeral. So
exactly.
it's not a given.
It's not.
And if you use, and with that logic that you're using, the person who's now dead, they, in many ways, they
lived their life.
They did what they should have done. They felt like, I don't have to reveal this, and it may never come out. And if your logic is it always comes out, they're telling you, no, it doesn't always come out, at least not when it matters.
It may have been something. Something could have.
Not
it may
it
not
been
have
person.
Found out full throttle, but mm-hmm. there are little things that take place that you take notice
or
of.
Or you look back and you say, I knew mm-hmm. it, but I didn't want to know
exactly.
it.
That exactly.
But then, so what? That, I mean, if you can do that, then you could very well be all right in the relationship. If you can ignore something that clearly wasn't life-changing.
Or it may not have been certain. It could have been one of those things where it could go either way. I'm not about to stress about it to try and figure it out.
Bingo.
You know, so, yeah. Mm. But I feel like with things like that, you should say, regardless of if, you know, it's not going to go in your favor, because then that's you being selfish. And in a relationship, you shouldn't be selfish.
But aren't you being selfish by determining early, before it even happens, what it is you will or won't be able to handle, tolerate, because you haven't really dealt with it?
No, because I'm telling you what I want as who
isn't that
I
selfish?
Am.
Exactly.
No.
That's selfish.
No, that's honest.
No, you could be honest and selfish.
What
I'm honest about my selfishness.
I'm not being selfish to where it's a preference. I'm not being selfish by telling you, hey, I don't want to deal with you because you may like guys.
Uh-huh.
That's a preference, and I choose to have that preference. Now, being me, I look at it like me being selfish is like, oh, well, I don't want you to be messing with other guys, but I'm going to be messing with other women. That's
selfish.
Being selfish.
That's
hypocritical.
That seems
right.
like, yeah, I think you made that up.
No, that's, I'm not.
Selfish
that
is,
happens.
This is what I want.
And I don't want you to do this.
That don't have nothing to do with what I want you to do. This is what I want.
No, but my preference in my relationship is that
typically
I
being selfish does deny someone else something.
Right.
That is the nature.
And my preference is not denying you. I'm just telling you what I like and what I want for myself.
So selfishness will I can't even think of a time when selfishness doesn't deny someone else something.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's why we're selfish. I mean, I want to sit in this chair right now. I mean, that denies somebody else from sitting in it.
No, it doesn't. Nobody
you can't
else
sit in this
here.
Chair.
But I'm satisfied with the
right.
one I'm sitting
now,
in.
No,
if
there was, if she wanted that chair,
it'd be different.
If there was someone else in this room, if we had only the chairs they were in, and yes. there was another person in this room, they couldn't sit in this chair if I wanted to sit in this chair. I mean, it does stop somebody else from doing something. That's
okay.
kind of the point. That's why people say, I want something. I want something because this is what I want. It is about me having what I want. And it will not step on somebody's toes, and it probably will step on somebody's toes. It just that's just the nature of having a self or an identity is going to, you know,
infringe on someone else's territory
yeah.
or something.
Anyway.
Hmm.
Okay.
Onward.
Yes, onward. We never did get to fences.
Wherein
oh,
Troy says, this ain't got nothing to do with you, Rose. And I'm not going to stop seeing this woman.
Wow.
That was
he wasn't selfish.
He was being honest.
That stood my hair up.
That's just how he felt.
I was like, whoa.
I'm being facetious.
Yes, he is.
That was being selfish because he wasn't being considerate of her feelings, considering that they've been married for so long.
There's so much to it. How do you know he wasn't being considerate of her feelings?
Well, he was being considerate
to
of her feelings.
Extent.
Exactly.
To the extent that he came and told her something that she was getting ready to stumble up on any minute now.
Exactly.
So he did bring it to her himself. He did not let her find out in the streets.
Right.
So
that's
and
so
embarrass
he was
her
that way.
Yeah.
Right. To but not embarrass her.
Just because you're considering someone else doesn't mean you're doing it a particular way. It just means you're considering someone else. So when you say he wasn't considering her feelings, he may have been considering her feelings the whole time he had another relationship, and that's why he did something or another. I don't know what he did, but you know.
Oh, he most
he wasn't
did.
Yeah, but he wasn't considerate in how she felt about or how she would feel about the situation.
How do you know that? Does that mean the only way he would be considerate is to do it the way she would want him to do it?
No.
Is that the only way
Let
he could be considered
this.
Considerate?
If he didn't do it, he would have been considerate.
Well,
so
I think
that's the way she would have wanted
but
him to do it.
I will say that the way the story unfolds, it felt to me like it started out just like you said a few minutes ago, Jeff. I stopped off and had a beer with a guy. Mm-hmm. I got home on time. Mm-hmm. And so did she really need to know? Mm-hmm. So it sounded like the way the story unfolded, he stopped into this place, Taylor's, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. He sat down. He had a drink with a woman. She was pretty. She laughed. She was nice. And he enjoyed her at
you
the moment.
You remember those details?
Like, okay.
He stopped in the... I don't even remember that. Those details.
So... Because you never see Taylor's until the end. And
right.
In the end, he's obviously not with her because by then she's dead, right?
Yeah.
So, but that it sounded like it was just an innocent thing at first.
Mm. Right.
And so then, obviously, he continues to go to Taylor's. He continues to sit with her. And something happens.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to where all of a sudden going and sitting with her at Taylor's is like a vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels that he's a better Troy when he gets home because he's been out with this woman than he is if he didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, to the extent that he kept his household intact, mm-hmm. Rose, he gave Rose all his money. None of the money was ever missing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he was doing what he felt he could
right.
to maintain his household. But then I felt he was managing this relationship with another woman with the proceeds of his brother's disability.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I'm like, how in the world back in freaking 57 is a guy with one job bringing home all the money to his wife, has a woman on the side, and mm-hmm. he got to be financing that thing. And then all the stuff comes together about the brother.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, okay, he went down and signed papers. He's supposed to be illiterate, and he doesn't know he signed papers that he's going to get his brother's benefits. I don't think so, Troy. So, you know, he becomes this guy that you love, and then
and
you
hate.
Mm-hmm. And then you love to hate, and then you love. You know, it's just like he becomes real.
Yeah.
At every scene.
Complex.
Yes, complex. Yes.
What? I think we talked about this. I mean, I wish I could remember the show that we already talked about Fences on, so I could reference listeners too. But yeah, I don't. But what I loved about it was there were no bad guys at the end. There were no bad guys. I want to say Alfre Woodard. That's not her name.
No.
What's
Viola?
Viola Davis.
Yes.
Yeah.
She and I put her in the category of
Footnote
actress.
The white guy knew Viola Davis.
But she tied it up in a bow where she had compassion for everybody.
Mm.
And I appreciated that to no end. Okay. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with certified relationship coach and the host of Concrete Conversations, Maria Smith. Maria, please tell us what you're up to and how we can find you.
You guys can follow me on Instagram, Concrete Conversations. Follow our YouTube channel. You can catch our shows on there. Right now, working up on a couple of events that we'll have coming up for the spring, Black businesses. So if you guys have some businesses that you want to be featured on the show, please email me at maria@concreteconversations.com.
Along today's journey, we've discussed fences, eventually.
Lying.
Ah, what else? What else we talk about, Maria?
Honesty.
Truth. Honesty, truth. All right, all right. Well, see, I don't have to say anything else. Shut it down. Thank you to my co-host, Nancy. Thank you to Jeff Newman, my engineer. And thank you to my guest, Maria N. Smith. You've been great. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had hanging out with today's ensemble. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's M-R Frank Love, or at franklove.com. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, make sure you like us there, and if via iTunes, make sure you subscribe so that you can receive each week's show. This is Frank Love.